dead. Somebody said dead. He is not sick. He is not dying. He is D-E-A-D, dead. Dead, dead, dead. Somebody said dead. And the truth of the matter that we need to explain and we need to try to get each one of you to understand is that a lot of people, a lot of disciples, a lot of followers who had followed Jesus during his earthly ministry had invested a whole lot of time and effort in his earthly ministry. Let me say that one more time. A lot of people had invested a whole lot of time, a whole lot of effort in his earthly ministry. His ministry. And if you want to make some folks mad, I've learned in my 20-something years of living, if you want to make a person mad, mess with their M-O-N-E-Y. You want to make them mad, mess with their money. And I also learned that if you want to get yourself erased, mess with their investments. Because people are tied to their money and they are tied to their investments. Do I have any witnesses in here? Amen. Not so long ago when the stock market crashed. There were some people who could not handle the truth. So they took their lives. Amen. And there are some people who went up and they took other people's lives all because people mess with their investments. Amen. You don't mess with folks' money. So the disciples had invested a lot. Somebody said a lot. According to the scriptures, if you go back and you read your Bible about the disciples and their following with Christ, they had left all. They had left everything. They had left all to follow Jesus. They weren't just following Jesus all because it was popular. They were not just following Jesus all because they didn't have no other place to go. They were not just following Jesus because it was the fad of the time, but they had left all to follow Jesus. And when we read this scripture, we sort of get a particular understanding when it reads that they had left everything to follow Jesus. We picture them leaving, you know, their boats, their nets. We picture them leaving the tax collector booth. We picture them leaving their other possessions, and this is all true. But what I need you to understand is that they also left their families. They left their houses. They left their careers. And there was nothing that they were not willing to do to follow Jesus. I'm trying to take you somewhere. Nothing. The love for him was so strong until there was nothing they wouldn't do to follow him. They felt like this was going to be the man that was going to come along and he was going to overthrow the government and set up his own kingdom. In fact, there was an argument. There was an argument amongst the disciples, and there was one mother who came to Jesus and Jesus, I want you to do me a favor. When you get into your kingdom, I want you to promise me that you'll let my son one sit at the right of you and the other sit at the left of you. There are times when the disciples would get together and they would argue about who was the greatest. Who was the greatest? I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest because I'm Jesus' secretary. I'm the greatest because I'm a part of his inner circle. They had left all the followers of Jesus and they were looking for their investment to mature and draw dividends. Everything was banking on this Jesus. Look at somebody and said, this Jesus. Everything was banking on this Jesus. And they could see themselves there. Oh, glory, glory, glory. They could see themselves there. I'm investing everything I got and I can see myself there. Have you ever met a man that you fell in love with or a woman that you fell in love with and it's only the second month of dating and you can see yourself as being Mrs.? Y'all ain't talking to me in there. Oh, y'all might well go with me because I'm going to preach just a little bit. Has there ever been a time, men, that you fell in love with this woman and she was the cat's meow? Y'all ain't talking to me. And you could almost just see her carrying your last name and everything was banking on her. You bought her jewelry, you bought her clothes, you bought her a car. You even went as far as buying her a house because you felt like this was the person that you was going to spend the rest of your life with. They had invested everything in this man called Jesus. Those who followed Jesus turned their lives upside down for the span of 3.5 years to be with him, to learn from him. Did nothing matter. I'm not going to go in how deep love could be sometimes. I'm not going to talk about how some of us have made some silly decisions all because of love. I'm not going to talk about how some of you have left good jobs and good houses. Left the confines of your mom and daddy's house. Only to go out and live in a shoebox. All because you were in L-O-V-E, love. See, I need you to understand that these disciples had gotten so in love with Jesus until nothing else matters. Nothing else was their concern. Only thing they wanted to do was to sit around and be under him and be taught by him. There was one disciple who actually when Jesus would teach, he would just lay in his bosom and he had so much love for Jesus. Ooh. I'm not talking about that other stuff. I'm talking about real love. They had left all to follow Jesus. And then so it happened on a day that the Jesus that they fell in love with and had invested so much in died. And then all of a sudden it was going all through the mind. We have invested everything. We had followed this man. For what? Because now he is dead. Now I want you to get inside of the head. We're going to take a different approach today. I want you to get inside of the head of the people who have decided to follow Jesus. Then all of a sudden here he is. He is dead. You spent all your money. You mortgaged your house. You sold your car. Because here come a man who promised you a whole lot. And then all of a sudden, here he is. He's dead. The devil's speaking all kind of stuff in your mind and to your spirit. And it says, for what reason did you do it? Has there ever been a time when you suck all your resources into something and the thing, the very thing that you sunk your resources in came up lacking and left you holding the bag? Yes, yes. You was afraid to tell folks just how foolish you were. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I want you to go with me. I'm almost there. For what the Jesus that they served and followed out around is now dead. And then in the word of the whole song, the old song that so many of y'all are folks so familiar with, is now the whole town is laughing about you. Silly fool. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. The whole town, the whole town, the whole town, the whole town. What do you do when you've done the right thing? And everything around you is falling apart. Ooh. What do you do when you did everything right? You thought you were following God. You told people that this was the voice of God. You told people God told you to do it. You told people that God told you to put the money in the offering. You told people God told you to buy the pews for the church. You told the people God told you to buy a church van. Come on and hear somebody. And you did it and everything around you is falling out. They sunk everything in the ministry of Jesus. And they thought that he was going to be the one. How many of you in here ever spent a whole lot of money on the person that you thought was going to be the one? Ah, come on now, preach with me. How many of you have ever been a point in your life when you suck your savings account, when you spend a dime in your pocket on something that you thought was going to be the one? And end up causing you the form. Well, I'm almost there. Give me about 10 more minutes. The enemies of the movement of Jesus were laughing. Hell was laughing. The devil was laughing because the devil thought Jesus has finally been defeated. Folks around town were laughing. All the folks who didn't like this Jesus movement. You know, Jesus would come into a town and folks were sick and folks would flock around Jesus and he would heal them. He told one person, go dip. He told another person, he spit on the ground, made spittle, made mud, put it on his eyes and said, how you see now? I see men walking like trees. He said, take another dish. Pray for them again. He said, how do you see now? I see men clearly now. There was a woman with the issue of blood who came through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and her whole situation changed. Jesus was a threat. He was a threat. He was a bad boy. He was a threat when Jesus came on the scene. Jesus took over the scene, but now he is dead. And everything that followed him is frustrated to a point where they're upset and they're mad and he's dead. I left all to follow him and he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. The Bible says that the disciples who had followed Jesus publicly had fled because now they are afraid and they're behind closed doors. fearing for their life. The folks, the same folks who followed him openly and publicly, and now that he's dead, they're behind closed doors, peeping out the windows. Come on in here, somebody. Afraid to be associated with him, because nobody ever thought that the Jesus that they served would die. So they're behind closed doors, and they're afraid. They spit all, and they are afraid. They followed Jesus even when it wasn't popular, but now they are afraid. How many of you in here ever been a time in your life when you call yourself following Jesus and doing what God required of you? You call yourself following Jesus and doing what the Bible said. You call yourself following Jesus and you lived out your life to the best of your ability. You told folks how great your God is and how he gonna pay your bills, and you gave away your sugar daddy. Y'all ain't talking to me here. And you took on a new daddy called Jesus. And now all of a sudden your bills are due and you don't know where the money is coming from. And you're afraid to ask the person that you told that God was going to pay all your bills, that you need a few dollars just to pay Georgia Power. Come on in here. And here you are with your back against the wall, and you don't know which way to go. And they're saying to you, where is your God now? Where is he now? You said you didn't need a man. Where is he now? You said God pays your bill. Where is he now? And now all of a sudden here you are trying to make things happen because you are afraid to let people know that the very thing that you trusted in somehow, some way seems to have let you down. So you're behind closed doors and the doors is locked and you got your mouth shut. But they're behind closed doors and they are afraid because the Jesus that they served and they were so happy and proud of is now dead. In fact, when he died on the cross, when he cried out and he dropped his head into the hollow of his shoulder and he died, the disciples, you know, I don't know where they went, but they left him hanging on the cross. They left the body of Christ hanging on the cross. They were afraid. They were scared, and they began to walk out from a distance because all of a sudden nobody wanted to be associated with a failure. Nobody wanted to be associated with somebody who said something that didn't come to pass. Nobody wanted to be associated with somebody who built you up and let you down. Nobody wanted to be associated with somebody that everybody is talking about. Nobody wanted to be associated with a failure. People want to associate themselves with success, but nobody want to associate with themselves with failure. That very person in your life that you've been holding on to, you that all of a sudden you hear bad things about. Sometimes we'll drop them like they won't, because we don't want nobody to know that that's my husband, that's my boyfriend, or that's my brother. But the devil is a liar. Reach over and tell somebody, don't ever admit to failure, baby. Oh, God Almighty. Sometimes you can be around folks who are fair weather friends. Sometimes you can be around folks who are your friends as long as you got money to buy them food. Sometimes you can be around folks who could be your friend as long as you got a car to take them to town. Sometimes you can be around folks and they'll be your friend as long as you can bail them out. But when they get down and they get down and out, can you hang around somebody that everybody's talking about? Can you hang around somebody that the whole world is laughing at? Can you hang around somebody who's down on wit's end? Can you hang around somebody until they get back on their feet? So Well, he's dead. And they left his body on the cross. The same one said, Lord, if everybody else deny you, I'll never deny you. The same one that said, if everybody else leave you, or y'all ain't talking to me, I ain't going nowhere. You got to be careful what folks say when the weather is warm. You got to be careful what folks say as long as you're paying their bills. Amen. You got to be careful what folks say as long as you're forking out some money. You got to be careful what folks say as long as they look at you as being a nest egg. The devil is a liar. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Some of us made a whole lot of vows when we were standing at the altar and the flowers and the people were there and the gifts, you know, was all on the table, you know, and you was waiting to go cut the cake, you know, and when the preacher said to you, and he said to you, in sickness is in hell, come on in here, and to death do we part, you said, I ain't going nowhere. It's amazing how I ain't going nowhere. All we end up to, I'm going somewhere when the trouble start coming. So they left his body. And the Bible said that it was Joseph of Arimathea. He went to Pilate, you know, this same Joseph who was a part of the Sanhedrin court. He went to Pilate and he asked for permission, you know. The body was still hanging on the cross and it was still bleeding from the nail prints in his hand and the nail prints in his feet and the fresh wound where the soldiers had just pierced him in his side. And the blood and the water was hanging and running down and guts was hanging out of his side and disciples were nowhere to be found. So this Joseph went to Pilate and said, can you give me permission to take his body and give him a decent burial? We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. And criminals, in that day, according to the Roman law, did not have a right to a burial. In that day, if a criminal died or was crucified, they took his body and they would just take him and just throw him in the local trash heap because they had no respect for a criminal. But then we have this Joseph, I'm almost there, who went to Pilate and said, can you give me permission, along with his best friend, his friend Nicodemus, and they took Jesus and they took spices and they wrapped his body and they was running out of time, so they had to hurry up and get it done. And they and Joseph said, you know what, I'm gonna put him in my tomb. And that's where the saying come about and said he was placed in a borrowed tomb. If anybody would have had any notions, they would have understand that anytime you place something in something borrowed, that means that you gonna give it back. Y'all ain't talking to me here. Anybody, the first clue that they should have picked up on is that they put him in a borrowed tomb. Jesus. He just needed some place for 3 days to lay his head. He just needed some place borrowed for 3 days because he didn't plan on staying there indefinitely. Is there anybody that know what I'm talking about? They took him and they put him in this borrowed tomb. That goes to show that the disciples did not expect Jesus to die. They didn't think Jesus was going to die so soon. That they were with him all those years and did not fully understand what Jesus' whole purpose was. He would say things like, you know, you tear down this temple and 3 days I'll raise it up again. He was saying things like the Son of Man, he's going to go to a place where they're going to kill him. But on the third day, he's going to get up. Because they were looking at death as being the end. They were looking at death as being over with. They had a different definition of death. They thought dead means it's done. It's over with. But Jesus had a total different definition of what dead means. To Jesus, dead means don't ever admit defeat. Don't ever admit defeat. In other words, no matter how bad it gets, don't ever admit defeat. Now, I stopped by here today in my closing. I'm almost there. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you have been going through. It doesn't matter what you are up against. In fact, there are some folks who have counseled you out and said you'll never be nothing, never amount to nothing, never be nobody. But I stopped by here today. You got to learn how to keep folks out of your head, baby. When folks get on the inside of you, they'll call you to go to believing things all about yourself. You'll think you'll never get up. You'll think you'll never rise again. But I stopped by here today to let you know, don't ever admit defeat. Don't ever. You might have had a child out of wedlock. You might have lost your house. You might have lost your car. Your marriage might have ended up in divorce. But I stopped by here to let you know, don't ever admit defeat. Do I have a witness to that? It doesn't matter what your life had been to this point. Jesus gave us the example. That even though it looked bad, in fact, for some of us, it looked really, really bad. But it's going to be all right. I stopped by here to let you know. It's the third day, baby. It's time for you to get up and let the devil know that no devil in hell can stop you now. Somebody shout glory. You can't admit defeat. You can't admit defeat. If you put me down over here, I'm going to rise up over there. Do I have a witness in here? If you let me go here, I'm going to show my face up over there. As long as I got breath in my body, I'll rise again. Somebody reach over and high five somebody and tell them, I'm getting up. It ain't the end of me. One monkey don't stop a show. Do I have a witness in here? I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm not down, I'm up. I'm the head and not the tail. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. You must understand that there's somebody who prophesied over your life and say you'll never be nothing, or because you got a felony on your record. But the devil is a liar. Sometimes God will allow you to go to some low places and some low times in your life. But the Bible declared there is hope of a tree. Though it be cut down, but at the scent of rain, it'll rise again. At the scent of rain, I dare you to open up your nostrils and smell the rain and look over at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm getting ready to get up. I'm getting ready to start my life over. Somebody shout, yeah. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. Before God get through, I might have lost my car,
but I'm getting ready to drive in another car. I might have lost my house on the west side. That don't mean anything, because God is getting ready to move me to the east side. Do I have a witness in here? Reach over and high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, guess what? Hell ain't laughing now. Say, guess what? All my enemies, they ain't laughing now. Because when you see me, I have on a new suit. When you see me, I'm gonna have my nails done. When you see me, I'm gonna have a new hairdo. When you see me, I'm not gonna look like what I come out of. When you see me, I'm gonna be walking in blessings. When you see me, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. Because when Jesus got up, I heard him say, all power. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. All power. Oh, you ain't saying nothing. All power. All power. Somebody said, what kind of power, Bishop? Power over Fannie Mae. Y'all ain't talking to me. Power over the IRS. Power over Wells Fargo. All power. All power. All power is given unto me. Somebody shout glory. All power. It ain't over. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you are in life right now. It ain't over. It ain't over. Don't be suicidal. It ain't over. It's just a matter of setback for a setup. Sometime before God can bless you, he got to get rid of some what you already got. Are you with me in here? You're going someplace. It ain't over. He rose on that third day. His disciples were still scared, still behind closed doors. I can almost see Jesus saying, them boys been in this house long enough. Let me go get these boys out of this house. Sent Mary, who was the first evangelist after the resurrection. I said, go tell my disciples. Meet me in Galilee. See, they saw death as the end, but Jesus saw it as the beginning. Because he said, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground, corn of corn, fall to the ground, it'll abide alone. It ain't over. I stopped by to tell everybody the sound of my voice. I don't care where you are right now in life. Stop having pity parties. Stop accepting the status quo. It won't always be like this. I prophesy to your spirit and to your mind and your soul. And I let you know, it's the third day, baby. It's the third day. I want you to get it in your spirit. When you get home and your husband at home, when you walk through the door, say, hey, sweetheart, it's the third day. You've been wondering whether or not you can afford that house or that car or whether to take that job. I stopped by here to tell you, it's the third day, baby. It's time. He went to the house where they were. Didn't bother to knock on the door. He just walked through into where they were. They looked at him and they were afraid that it was a ghost. He said, "I ain't no ghost. Touch me." It's the third day. After you heard this message, if you go back to the same old rut that you're in, living life beneath what God has ordained for you, it's nobody's fault but yours. The common denominator that you've been needing in your life is Jesus. This is your day. I'm getting ready to pray. Getting ready to pray. It ain't over. It ain't over. You gotta believe that. Don't let nobody tell you it's over. Don't let nobody tell you it's said and done. It ain't over. You get ready to go forward. You get ready to go forward. And today, in just a few minutes, I just want to touch and agree with you. I want to touch and agree with you that after today, Resurrection Sunday 2016, is the